Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Slammy, hey, you already know what's up. What's that, another home run? But you know the job ain't done till we hold that trophy up. Hey.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 576 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fenn with you here. It is March 21st, 2024. Hopefully everybody is doing well. The Padres, they are 1-1 headed back here to San Diego. They're probably going to be landing in San Diego on, no, actually tonight, later tonight, I believe, is when they should, because just of the time change. It's going to be a long flight. It is a long flight that they're doing right now. It seems like they were gassed. Their legs were tired, but the adrenaline kind of took over in this second game. They were going so many spots. So much attention was being, you know, being pulled in so many different directions. And so I think, you know, Manny is not the only person that is glad. Tatis, same thing, that is glad that this trip is over and that they are coming back home. Now, sure, they get a day off on Friday, but Saturday, Sunday, they still are going to be at the Peter Seidler Memorial Fan Fest, and then Monday, Tuesday, exhibition games. And so their next day off after tomorrow isn't until Wednesday. And tomorrow, Wednesday, because Thursday's the home opener. Tomorrow, though, like, their clock's going to be all off. They're probably just going to want to sleep in their bed the entire day. So I don't know how, like, productive they're going to be on their first days back. But for what most people care about, obviously, Padres, Dodgers, talking about these games. Obviously, I hit on yesterday's game in yesterday's episode when the Padres lost to the Dodgers and how that was crushing and they lost multiple leads. And this one was way more, I think way more entertaining because of like the amount of runs that were being scored, and the Padres were scoring, the Dodgers were coming right back, and then the Padres would go score again, and it was just back and forth, and thankfully the Padres won this game. I'm a fan of a well-pitched game, but you had a little bit of both as well in this series, and so it reminded me a little bit of 2023, like I said in my initial post-game reaction this morning, where one day it's underwhelming offense, then the next day they look like the best offense of all time. And Jake Cronenworth goes 4-for-4, and Tatis scores a couple runs, Bogart scores a couple runs, Manny scores a couple runs, a huge home run that he hit. Camposano scored a couple runs. He got three hits. Tyler Wade got a couple of hits. Like, everyone coming through. Jackson Merrill almost hits a home run. So it's just totally different. And sure, Xander, I thought Xander had a really good series offensively, not just today's game, but yesterday's game as well. But it's still that inconsistency. The main takeaways from this series, I'm going to get into like this game individually here in a minute, but the main takeaways that I have is there's still the inconsistency, like 2023, where there's offense, then there's not. Kind of some question marks at times with the bullpen and how they're going to get through that. With the rotation, there's question marks there a little bit as well. You know, with Darvish and Musgrove, they don't go deep in this game. The bullpen has to get used. Michael King did not like his outing at all. So the rotation is a question mark. It's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. I like the rotation. Musgrove, Darvish, King, Cease, and then Brito Waldron. Like, I like the names there, but all I can say is what I think of these two games that matter. And so far, starting pitching has been a little bit underwhelming. I thought Darvish had a solid outing considering the pitch count. He didn't allow any earned runs. That was the Tyler Wade error. But Musgrove obviously was not at his best, and Darvish didn't go as long as the Padres would have probably liked, and that's why they had to use a ton of relievers. So we'll see. You know, Michael King, that was a little disappointing seeing what Michael King did there, but he's not starting. He was coming out of the bullpen. It's his first outing. He's confident that he's going to be able to find it. So I'm not going to freak out too much, but I think it's fair to still say that the rotation as of now is still a little bit of a question mark. And then the offense, it's a little bit of a question mark as well. Like, both sides are a little bit of a question mark because of the offense, the inconsistency in these two games. It's a very small sample size, but the offense underwhelming, I thought, in game one. And then game two, they blow it open. And so it's a reminder of 2023 and that season. That's what I got from this series. I mean, let's get into game two here. And if you have any thoughts, if you want to join the show, you can click that link that is pinned up at the top of the chat. I will get into the comments as well live on this show in a little bit. But yeah, just going through what happened here in this game. First inning off of Yamamoto. You don't know what to expect. Well, first off, let me just say my freaking alarm didn't go off. I set it for 1 o'clock in the morning. I thought that's 2 hours before the game. I was like, I'm going to be good. And I ended up waking up in the 4 o'clock hour here on the West Coast. So that was not great to wake up like that and be like, oh, game's, you know, probably in the fifth inning. I wake up, see what the score is, and hey, at least they're winning. But Musgrove kind of crapped the bed a little bit. And so that was not too fun to relive there. But I was happy that they got the lead. They smacked off. They smacked Yamamoto. Took him out of the game really early. Made the Dodgers obviously go to the bullpen really early. And huge games from guys that are question marks going into this year, like Jake Cronenworth. Didn't know if the Padres were going to be able to get a home run in this series, but Manny has a huge home run there when they're up by one. Late big home run, and you know that allowed some breathing room there for Robert Suarez, who was throwing gas. He was throwing like 100 up there, so that was encouraging to see. But it was a good, really good start to this game. Couldn't have been a better start. Excuse me. Couldn't have been a better start. Crony with the triple, made it 2-0 down the line. Kim with the sack fly, didn't have the best series, but it was still cool, you know, going back to South Korea for him. And he had a lot on his plate. So I'm not going to sit here and, you know, overreact to any maybe Ha-Sung Kim-like struggles. You see everyone else in the lineup do a lot, and Kim went 0-for-4. I'm not going to overreact to that. He's probably really gassed right now. Campy with the double down the line. Max Muncy, I mean, give it up for Max Muncy, huh? Wow. What a game at third base for the Dodger third baseman. I mean, this guy, like, it was like he didn't know how to play third base. Booting balls all over the place. Obviously, I'm not complaining. That was great. Without those Muncy errors, I wonder what this game would have looked like. But you could do that with a lot of things. I mean, what about yesterday in game one? What if Jake Cronenworth, that ball wouldn't have gone through his mitt and the Padres turn a double play there? What would have happened there? It would have been a tie game still instead of the Dodgers having the lead and then they don't give it back up, obviously, you know, what would have happened? So we could do that all day. But, you know, with Yamamoto, there wasn't much of a scouting report. I mean, sure, you could look at his Japan stuff, but in terms of MLB scouting report, he'd never pitched in the big leagues in a regular season game before. And so I think when Xander got him right out of the gate, it seems like he didn't want to use his fastball very much. And then he's floating up 92 miles per hour. And even Tyler Wade is, I'm not saying Tyler Wade sucks, but I'm just saying like Tyler Wade, he's not Tatis. He's not Bogarts. He's not Manny. He just takes it to right field and it was hard contact. And I don't think Yamamoto was like tipping pitches. I think that he was living balls over the middle of the plate and it just wasn't great. He didn't have great command. And Dave Roberts even said it post game about how Yamamoto, he's not totally a velocity guy. Like he relies on his command. And when that command is not there, well, that happens. We know the Padres, they have some talent in the lineup. Like that showed today when a pitcher is not on their game. I just wonder when they have to face Yamamoto when he is on his game, how is that going to work out? But at the same time, the Dodgers will have to face Musgrove when he is on his game. How is that going to work out? And when Darvish is pitching better, how is that going to work out? You know, Ohtani, there's all that stuff going on with Ohtani, obviously, and it's so confusing. If people want me to talk about it more, I can talk about it here in a little bit. But him offensively, he had a really good series. And Mookie Betts with a home run today, and he had a pretty good offensive series, and he kept the Dodgers in this game until, obviously, the Manny big home run. And yeah, of course it was a little worrisome, you know, when it was a one run game there and it's like Padres were up 9-2 at one point in this game and you're letting the Dodgers creep back in and it's a one run game. I mean, come on, imagine if the Padres would have choked this game and they're down 0-2 their record, long flight home. And then you have to go through Fan Fest. You have to go through what's already going to be probably pretty sad, the Peter Seidler Memorial. I mean, that would just suck. And you have to sit on this until Thursday, a full week that you have to sit on this because the exhibition games, you win those games, who cares? So it was good. You know, they were fighting. Obviously, that's a term that Musgrove used. He thinks that he fights well. And I agree. When he doesn't have his stuff, I think he fights well on the mound trying to make do with what he had. I saw some people, I forget who exactly it was, but they were like, well, Musgrove today, he wasn't pitching like he had a huge lead. And that might have been part of the problem. Like he was trying to be so perfect and his command wasn't great with the breaking ball. And I'm like, yeah, okay, but I'm sure Musgrove also had a game plan on how he was going to attack these Dodger hitters. I don't think that just goes right out the door when you have a lead. I think with Musgrove as a competitor and he prepared for this outing, they're going to go with how they prepared. And if he doesn't have it, okay, he has to adjust and then make do with what he had. But yeah, it was not the best outing from Joe, definitely. I mean, 2 2/3 innings, 5 earned runs, walked 2, only struck out 2, gave up 7 hits. Yeah, you need more length out of Joe Musgrove, even if it's March 21st. With Darvish, yeah, you want more length out of him as well, but I go back to the no earned runs thing, where Musgrove, he gave up 5 earned runs. So that's where there's the difference there, right? And Musgrove had some not so great spring training outings as well, but then it seemed like you found it and it was encouraging. Then this happened, so it's a step back. But it's also, I was saying on my initial reaction this morning, I'm not going to, maybe I didn't hit specifically on Musgrove, but I'm not going to panic about Joe Musgrove. I'm going to say, hey, it's a question mark right now, this rotation. You know, where not everyone has even pitched in this rotation in a big league game out of, you know, not coming out of the bullpen. Like King came out of the bullpen. He hasn't started yet. Waldron hasn't started yet. Cease hasn't started yet in a regular season game here for this Padres team this season. So there's still question marks of who these guys are going to be. And even when they do start, I'm not going to use a one start sample size and say, all right, you got to worry, I think right now I'm not worried about it. I am just stating that it's still a question mark, but I'm not, you know, losing sleep over what the rotation looks like. And oh, Musgrove didn't get through 3 innings today. It's one of those games when there's so much runs like that and you do have that cushion, just win the game. I'm going to take the positives from the offense. I'm going to look at the bigger sample size of Joe Musgrove when he's been with the Padres. And for the most part, he's been one of their best pitchers. And he got $100 million for a reason. And last year, sure, slow start. He did have the injuries, obviously, which were not ideal. I'm not talking about the one that ended his season, but obviously the stuff before. But his last like 12 starts, I believe, were all quality starts. And he finished the year after that Yankee outing last year at Yankee Stadium was the first good outing. And then since then, before he had to shut it down, he pitched really well. So let's not forget about that. Let's not forget about some of the postseason outings that he's had. Like, so I'm not going to sit here and be super worried about Joe Musgrove's performance today. Again, it wasn't ideal, but I'm happy that the offense broke out, and at least like we know they're capable of that. And I think Xander had a quote post game about how they could have just lied down. I don't buy that. I guess they could have just lied down, but when you have this whole mindset that you're talking about in spring training, and I'm sure they were talking about in the offseason as well, and you're just going to not do that mindset in game two of 162 just because you lost a tough game one. You're not going to bring that mindset of who cares what happened in game one. Let's worry about this game. Let's go win this day. We can't control what happened in the past. Let's just go do it in game two. I don't think that, you know, just rolling over and just, you know, not giving that great effort and not being super dialed in, I don't think that was really an option. You're playing the Dodgers, Seoul Series, game two of 162. I'm sure those guys are still motivated to not go 0-2 to start the year. So I don't really buy the whole we could have just lied down thing, especially coming off of last year. I don't think that was really an option. But I'm still going to give credit, obviously, to this Padres offense. I mean, 10 for 24 with runners in scoring position. Pretty darn good. 10 hits with runners in scoring position. And Jackson Merrill, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't take him out of that nine spot, at least right now. It's a small sample size, but as of now, he looks pretty darn comfortable in the big leagues. Doesn't look too small for the moment. You know, the lights aren't too bright. Now we'll see what happens when he gets back to Petco, and you're going through the daily grind of a season, not just two games and then a week off. But if he continues to hit like this, then sure, maybe you move him up in the order. But Having him in the ninth spot like that, it's a lefty bat before some righties come up at the top. And if he's getting on base, that sets up the top of the order with someone on base. And that allows for Xander, who's not the biggest power guy, he gets on. And then you have Tatis coming up. You have Cronenworth coming up as a lefty who had he had a great offensive game today, right? Then you have Manny who has a huge home run. My goodness, that ball was... Can you hit a ball better than that? I know it was 88 right down the middle, but holy cow, that was crushed. I don't think you can hit a baseball better than Manny hit that late in this game. But yeah, I think Merrill, you know, batting ninth, people say second leadoff. I mean, that's really actually what this is. If Merrill can have the approach that he had in spring training and he can hit the ball like he has in these last couple of games against the Dodgers in the Seoul Series. Almost hit a home run today. He was saying, I think post game, like, dude, in any other ballpark, talking to Kevin Acey, like in any other ballpark, that could have been a home run. He got his first big league hit, obviously, two hits in this game. It's two games, but you look at the OPSs of these Padres players, and it looks pretty good. And obviously, most of that is because of what happened in today's game. And you obviously just hope that they continue moving that forward, that approach that they have, that relentless, they strike us, we're not just going to sit there and let it happen and let us be punched, we're punching back. We might have a lead, but we're going to keep scoring runs here. 5-0 lead, we're not going to let off. We're going to keep scoring runs. We're going to score 10 more runs after we score 5. That's relentlessness, continue to fight, not give up an at-bat, not give up a pitch. Like, that's what this team needs to do, especially when, like, they're considered an underdog. And some consider, like, man, it's a top-heavy lineup. There's not great talent throughout the order. This is not the Dodgers that we're talking about. This isn't the Braves lineup that we are talking about here. So They've got to be grinding through at bats. And I know they lost in game one, but the little thing like Profar the bunt to third. Don't forget about that. And he gets on base and Campy, yeah, he grounded into the double play, but that brought a run in, like doing the little things like that. Ha-Sung Kim getting the fly ball. That scored a run, right? Yeah, because Crony was on. Did Crony score on that? I forget if he scored on that. But like Kim doing the little thing, ball down in the zone, get the ball in the air, even if it's down the zone, get it to the outfield, score a run, however you can. I like this Padres offense's approach here, especially obviously this morning against the Dodgers. And, you know, lining up Yamamoto, it's great to see. I mean, the Dodgers, they took a huge risk giving Yamamoto $325 million. I'm not saying that that's not going to work out, but that's not a good start to the $325 million contract. You going one inning. I get it. It's his first big league outing. Dodger fans, they're probably not going to sit here and be like, I'm worried about Yamamoto. But in the back of their minds, they probably got to be a little bit worried. I mean, some agents have a point. Some people, if they have this opinion, they have a point. Go with the guarantee that has already had a couple Cy Youngs in baseball. There's question marks with Blake Snell, but maybe go with him over giving Yamamoto $325 million. Now, there are plenty of teams that were trying to give Yamamoto a big deal, $300 million. I think the Yankees may have gone there, the Mets, Phillies maybe, if I remember correctly. Like, teams were in on Yamamoto. This was not just the Dodgers going out by themselves and giving Yamamoto a ton of money, most money on a contract in Major League Baseball history by a pitcher, right? So I don't think that the Dodgers made a terrible decision. It's just a lot of money to give to one guy. And you're giving him $325 million to be like the best pitcher in baseball, not to be a three or four starter caliber. And it's just not a good start. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that this Yamamoto signing is going to be looked at as a huge bust and a huge waste of money. But I'm sure that there's a little bit of worriness, maybe not with the Dodgers, because they're around Yamamoto and they see the bullpens and they probably are looking at video and they already know what the heck went wrong. But Dodger fans, there's probably, they're not going to admit it, but there's probably a little bit of some worriness there. Out of the bullpen for the Padres today, Cosgrove, Michael King, he did not like his outing at all. There is that quote in the UT. I want to see. I think it's in this one here. Yeah, I mean, he admitted it. This reminded me of Rich Hill. You know how blunt and honest Rich Hill is? Michael King was not pleased with his first outing for the Padres, Kevin Acey says here. King says, it was pretty bad. It's obviously great when we put up 15 runs and I just have to kind of keep them at bay, but I felt terrible in my command. My mechanics just felt a little off, and every adjustment I was making was either overcorrecting or I just didn't find that rhythm. I know I will in my next one. King had a good spring from what I saw from just people that were there in Peoria. It seems like he had a good spring. So I'm not going to overreact to one appearance that wasn't even a start, an appearance out of the bullpen. But still, I think it's fine to say it's still a question mark on what Michael King is going to do as a starting pitcher in this rotation. I know Padres fans, it feels like they have a super high expectation that I'm seeing on social media. Like, man, Michael King better be better than Seth Lugo when he's the main piece coming back in that Juan Soto trade. But I'm just going to say, maybe give it a little bit of time. And Seth Lugo, he was solid for the Padres. He wasn't the reason why they missed the postseason last year. So if Michael King can do that as the four starter, especially with Cease coming in, and if Cease could be Dylan Cease, not last year's Dylan Cease, but the other year, 2022, and just, you know, give innings, give starts, stay healthy, that puts less pressure on Michael King. And if Michael King, again, if he can be like Seth Lugo a little bit better, that's a pretty darn good four starter in your rotation. So, yeah, Michael King, he didn't like it, but he knows that, and it seems like he knows that he will be trying to, or maybe he already knows what the heck he's, I mean, he said right there about not being in rhythm. So it seems like he has a good idea of what went wrong, and obviously Ruben Niebla, Ben Fritz, the staff. Seems like they know what the heck they're talking about as well. So I'm not at this point where I'm worrying about Michael King or Joe Musgrove or Yu Darvish. I guess the only thing that you might worry about is like their health, but it seems like they're healthy and obviously full go here to start the year. So that is encouraging. I see Carter wants to join the show. What's up, Carter? Can you hear me?
Yo, what's up?
What's up? What do you want to talk about? Yeah.
I love that series. It was awesome to watch. I was one of those fans that woke up early.
Yeah. Yeah. See,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. What were you saying?
No. Yeah. I woke up first game early and I was going to do the same thing second game. And then my alarm didn't go off. So I woke up in the middle of the second game, which I was happy that, you know, the Padres were putting up a ton of runs, because that would have been a little worrisome if they weren't able to. I'm not saying they had to put up 15 runs, but if they had another underwhelming day offensively, I think a lot of Padres fans would be freaking out a little bit here.
Yeah, that game kind of reminded me of the Mexico City game, not because of how the plays, but I just thought it kind of reminded me of the Mexico City game because of how high scoring the game was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when I make those comparisons, I'm not saying like, oh, because there was a ton of home runs. Like, it was the opposite, but there was just a ton of runs scored by both teams. And it was like, oh my gosh, yep. This is a game that we're probably not going to see at all the rest of the year. I don't think the Padres are going to, you know, be scoring 15 runs. Maybe like once, but they're not going to score 15 runs and the other team's going to score 11 runs anytime the rest of the year. Like, this was just such a unique game.
And then we have those exhibition games, correct?
Yeah, against Seattle on Monday and Tuesday.
That's right. And then FanFest too?
Yeah, FanFest is on Sunday. The Peter Seidler Memorial is going to be on Saturday, or the Celebration of Life. And then Monday, Tuesday, exhibition games. Wednesday, off day. Thursday is the home opener.
Yeah, I can't wait, dude. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I think you speak for a lot of people. Carter, thanks so much, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Of course. If anyone else wants to join the show as well, feel free. Click that link pinned up at the top of the chat. I love giving Padres fans that platform to come on and talk. I try to be the most interactive Padres show out there. I'm just some say there was a comment, I think, on YouTube I saw the other day about like thanking me for professionalism. I don't know if I view myself like that. I mean, I'm knowledgeable about the team and I care about giving fans like the right information. I get asked questions all the time about the team and certain information about the team and what they need to know about the team and all that. And I give that, but I'm just a passionate Padres fan. So if you watch like every show, you'll know I'll go off sometimes, but then there's some times where I'm more calm because I'm not going to sit here and like fake rage something if I'm not actually pissed off about something. Pedro, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, the Shilty arrows in full effect. And I was one of the ones that was kind of going for Benji Gill or someone kind of more hardcore. You saw Ozzie Guillen take care of business in the Caribe World, the little series. So yeah. I was kind of like leaning that way, but you could tell that Shilty's kind of, he has that effect with the players. He's kind of, there's a different mindset, you know. The even game one, the game was ours, but you know, stuff happens, it's baseball. But you know, you could see totally like these guys are laser, you know, they're fighting for jobs. Like, you know, the roster's not set when they come back, so those little last spots, you could tell they're like crawling and scratching it, you know, Wade, you know, shout out Marietta, yeah. And with even what is it, Polly, you know, he got his little hit, I guess, on that bat there. But you know, I'm kind of impressed already with the Shilt there, even though he personifies that like haha, like kind of sarcastic demeanor with the media. I'm waiting to see when it turns on him, when we go on a little slide and how they kind of, because he kind of gives them those little sarcastic remarks, but I like it. And then I like his whole approach, you know, like he's kind of tough guy behind the scenes. They take care of stuff in the clubhouse. And I think we've seen that little stuff where in St. Louis, they kind of, he was like kind of cussing and ranting or ramped the guys up, and they went on that little winning streak, right? When they kind of met us in the playoffs and COVID. So yep. I think that's step one. And then, you know, the season's going to take care of itself, you know, injuries. Like if Musgrove, you know, like I said on the chat there, you know, it's probably early and he's still working on stuff. So, but I like what I'm seeing with the coach or the manager. So I just wanted to kind of get a little shout out there to Schilt there, even though I was kind of anti-Schilt. So I'm eating crow now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
all right.
I think with Schilt, I love the Schilt hiring considering the circumstances at the time. Yeah. I like the detailed baseball that they're playing, like how much that's been preached. I think some fans may be like, "Hey, I'm tired of hearing about that. Like, let's see how it actually works during the season." Yeah. As of now, it's off to a good start. I think it's the same thing with Jack Samardzija. Like right now, it's off to a good start. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about Mike Schilt as the manager. But as you said, let's see what happens when failure happens, because it's going to happen. Baseball is a game of failure. What is going to happen then in a long season? I think with this Dodgers series, like it's easy to go all out for these two games, but what's going to happen all season long? Are they going to be able to do this throughout the entirety of the season, or are they going to go back into those old habits that has ended up hurting them in years past, including obviously last year? But it's off to a good start. I'm definitely liking the Schilt hire. Let's just see what's going to happen. You know, how much consistency is there going to be throughout the year? But you know, Schilt, he's a baseball lifer, baseball nut. And I think that's something that obviously pairs well for sure.
And he's kind of like a mini micromanager, kind of like Preller. No, he kind of likes the notepad stuff. Like they've kind of documented. So he's on top of it. If something's going wrong, I don't think he's going to let it slide. Like what Bullmel kind of, we perceived, he was just kind of easygoing, laissez-faire type manager, but I think this guy's on top of it, and he's gonna nip it in the bud before you know anything happens. But just want to give a shout out, and hey, those were good wins to start the season. And I guess like what they said in the chat, what are your thoughts? I know you're gonna probably bring it up later about the Otani situation. That's kind of crazy. Like that nowadays, like with alerts and Bitcoin, you know, he wasn't like privy to nothing, and those guys drive together, exercise together. But I'll let you guys there, and then I'll leave it at the chat there.
Yeah, thank you, Pedro. Yeah, I'll get into that. I'll take a quick break, and then we can get into that as well, because obviously the Padres were playing the Dodgers in this series when that story came out, and I think a lot of the focus went into that instead of the baseball, which is totally understandable. I mean, this was a huge story that came out. So I'll talk about that here in a little bit. Check out Gaglione Bros' famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well. All right, some of the other great partners of the show, Breaking Tea, San Diego Sports sweatshirts and shirts, Padres, Aztecs, Wave. Aztecs play tomorrow, 10:45 a.m., can't wait for that. The Wave home opener on Saturday. So maybe some are going to be going to the Seidler Celebration of Life. Then they can pop over to Snapdragon Stadium for that. Underdog Fantasy, which it's interesting for me to be, you know, promoting that, talking about, you know, with the whole Shohei stuff. But 100% deposit match up to $100 there. Code Talking Friars, or click the link in the description. A bunch of higher lowers, obviously, with the baseball season about to get started for the rest of baseball. Not just the Padres coming up next week, and then obviously other sports as well. Obviously, NCAA tournament going on right now, so there's a ton to pick there. And then SeatGeek, code Talking Friars, $20 off your order, your first order there with SeatGeek. Again, code Talking Friars. I see Jeff is in here. I'm going to go to Jeff, and then we can talk about the Otani situation. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. So I just want to talk real quick about stats. I know it's early in the season, but I think it's important to know that the starting pitching, the Padres went 6.1 innings with their starting pitching, gave up 5 runs, while the Dodgers went 6 innings, gave up 7 runs. So we outperformed them there. The bullpens both gave up 10 runs. The Dodgers allowed 3 errors, while we only allowed 2 errors. And then the biggest difference is we led with 14 innings. We had a lead, and they only had 2 innings with a lead. It's pretty crazy.
Well, exactly. To end up with a 1-1 split there, I think we're already encouraged by the 1-1 split. But to have those numbers, you know, you tell me those numbers, it's like, man, the Padres were close to winning both games. Yeah. And I'm not saying that based on 2 games here, the Padres, oh, they're going to contend with the Dodgers in the NL West. I think the Dodgers are still going to go win the division. But I think this can show, like, short series like this, Padres-Dodgers, they can go beat this Dodgers team in the postseason. It's about getting into this postseason, and then you see what happens. And obviously, season's just starting. We've got a long way to go. But at the same time, like, it's encouraging for sure that they came out with a 1-1 split. Going in, I think we would have said, yeah, 1-1 split, we'll be happy. I think we're even happier because of some of the encouraging signs like that. I know that there's questions with starting pitching, but like they were able to be better than the Dodgers for most of this series. And so I think that's encouraging. It's not like this was where the Padres had all their healthy players and the Dodgers didn't. Like, they went right with the Dodgers, right up against each other, and they smacked Yamamoto. Glasnow pitched well, but the Padres were still able to win this game with Musgrove not performing up to the level of expectation, with guys not going long. And I think that could be encouraging because I think that this, especially the top of the rotation, as long as they're healthy, like they're not going to continue to be this bad. Like Darvish, I thought it was a solid outing, considering like he didn't give up any runs and the higher pitch count, it was going to be a limited pitch count. But more like Musgrove, like that's not going to continue to happen.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's still early, but we were able to go head and head with the number one offense, so it's a good sign.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Jeff, thanks so much for coming, man. All right, see ya. Yeah, let's get to the Ohtani situation. I appreciate everyone that has joined the show so far. Love the participation. Again, if you want to join the show, you can click that link pinned up at the top of the chat. I will get to the rest of the chat in a little bit. But yeah, the Shohei Ohtani situation. I already did a video on this, so you can check that out. I did that last night because that story was just so huge last night that I'm like, I have to do a video on this. I mean, this is so wild. I don't know. I didn't know at the time, like, was Shohei going to play? I thought he was going to play. The Dodgers aren't going to take him out of the lineup if they don't have to, right? If they take him out of the lineup, that means he's probably suspended. They're not going to just take him out of the lineup and say, no, we're going to take our, you know, the best player on the planet out of our lineup that we're paying a ton of money to. I know it's most of it's deferred, but we're paying a ton of money to this guy. He's our superstar, one of our superstars, face of the franchise, face of the league. I'm not taking this guy out in case something happened. No, unless we see that, okay, something happened and Major League Baseball is like making us take him out, then they'll take him out. But yeah, Shohei's going to keep playing. So I just thought maybe would there be like a little bit of a distraction? What was this going to look like? But, you know, credit to Shohei, I guess. He performed really well for the Dodgers even in this game today, almost hit a home run multiple times. And he's a ridiculously talented baseball player. Face of the league, looks like he can do no wrong. And that's part of the reason why how like big of a story this is. Ipe, his former translator, by the way, Ipe, he's no longer with the Dodgers, so he wasn't going to be on the team flight home, I wouldn't think. So is he just taking a commercial flight from Seoul back to LA? And wouldn't that be awkward, him having to talk to Dodger fans if they're on the same flight about what the heck happened? Because everyone knows what Ipe looks like. If you're a baseball fan, Ipe follows Shohei all over the place because of he's the interpreter. Like, they're best friends as well, is what it seems like. You've seen Ipe at press conferences right next to Shohei, All-Star Game interviews on MLB Network. He's everywhere. So that has to be interesting. But yeah, there's a couple sides of this story. I mean, you've got Shohei's side that is saying that Ipe, or maybe, are they accusing? I think we're all assuming that they're accusing Ipe of doing this, right? But his team just, they didn't accuse Ipe. They said that Shohei Ohtani is a victim of massive death. But Ipe is literally the only other person that's in the story. So they're referring to Ipe. Shohei's camp allowed Ipe to have an interview for 90 minutes with ESPN. Ipe told one side, said some things, and then he backtracks on that and said, no, no, no. Shohei didn't know what was going on when initially, I believe this was initially, in that big 90-minute interview with ESPN said, no, Shohei was covering my debt and being nice, wanted to make sure I'd never do it again, but then said that, no, Shohei had no knowledge of it. Like, which one is it? And Shohei's team is saying that, yep, massive theft. Shohei's name, though, is on the wire transfers up to $1 million, at least the two $500,000 payments that are there that were seen, I believe, by ESPN. And so Shohei's side, no, no, no. Shohei didn't know. They're obviously protecting Shohei. I mean, these people's jobs is to make their client look good, protect their client. So I'm not going to believe everything that comes out of their mouth. Should I believe everything that comes out of Ipe's mouth either? Heck no. Because one time he talks to ESPN and says one thing, that Shohei used his laptop and it was under Ipe's supervision. He was covering my gambling debt. I was really bad at it. And then another is saying, no, 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 Shohei didn't know anything about it. It was all me. It was all me. When Shohei's name is on the wire transfers, like, what's the actual story here? I said this yesterday, and maybe I just can't relate because I don't have $4.5 million to give to a friend, or I don't have a friend that has $4.5 million to cover a debt of mine. But that just seems fishy that, yes, Shohei Ohtani, $4.5 million is nothing to him, but to give $4.5 million under your name to an illegal gambler, person that hooked Ipe up, obviously, to do that, to cover a friend's gambling debt, and you're doing it on your laptop, it just seems fishy. And they allow a 90-minute interview, and then Shohei's side is like, no, 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 we're trying to, they just try to disassociate themselves as far as possible from Ipe. And yep, Ipe, he's fired. No, 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 don't believe anything that he's saying. We're not responsible for that, even though we just let you talk to him for 90 minutes. But then Ipe's changing the story as well. So it's hard to know what to believe. I mean, after the game, the Dodgers PR staff, I think there was multiple, is what I saw, around Shohei Ohtani as he's changing. And then they walk him out of the clubhouse with reporters not being able to talk to him. And I guess Shohei, all he said was have a good night in Japanese or whatever. And I'm like, well, shocker, he's not addressing the media. He rarely addresses the media anyway. And there's no accountability, it seems like, for Shohei. He only talks to the media when he does well. And when this happened, I get like, it's probably not the smartest thing to talk to the media right now. But if nothing went wrong, you did nothing wrong, then why not talk? Ipe's already been fired. Now, maybe that relationship is totally great. I mean, before Ipe went in front of the Dodger clubhouse and said, like, it was all him and he had a gambling problem and a story's going to come out minutes before that, right? At least we assume it was minutes before that. Ipe and Shohei were smiling with each other in the dugout at the end of yesterday morning's game. So it's just weird. What is happening? It's weird. If nothing was wrong, wouldn't it be smart for Shohei to go out in front and say, I didn't do anything. I know I didn't do anything. That's why I'm talking. But when you don't talk and you have PR people be your security guards in the clubhouse because you don't want the media to talk to you, you really don't want to speak to the media, it just seems a little fishy. So Major League Baseball is going to do everything they can to protect Shohei Ohtani because Shohei Ohtani is the face of the game, and it would be a terrible look for Shohei to be suspended or for anything to happen. So I don't know how long this thing's going to take. What I do know is he's going to keep playing baseball. They're not going to sit Choe out unless he has to because he is suspended. Or, you know, something happens really bad with, like, government or whatever. You know, legal. Major League Baseball, I don't think they've launched any investigation or anything on it. Because why would they want to do that? It's Shohei Ohtani. They don't want to do that unless they have to. So this might drag on a little bit. This is not the end to this story. I've seen some updates throughout the day on it. It's confusing. And things aren't adding up. Stories are getting changed from both sides. It's just not adding up. So I don't know what happened. We don't know what happened. We know things that have been reported, but yeah, I'll say this, looping it back to the Padres. I'm glad the Padres aren't the team with the drama right now. We've dealt with plenty of drama in the last couple of years as Padres fans, with Tatis, with Preller and Melvin and Soto a little bit, and just the clubhouse and all that. There's so much drama. I'm glad that it's on the Dodgers side of things now. And they already had a ton of pressure going into the season, and now there's even more attention on them for something that none of us were expecting. I see David. He is in here, wants to join the show. What's up, David?
Hi. I know I sound a little bit young, but after the game, I was sitting in the car. I was on my phone, and then I saw the story as my dad called me, and I immediately screamed because, like, This is huge. Like, first of all, why do you gamble? It's not really the smartest thing, especially when you keep losing. The second thing is, like, why would you rob? And the third thing is, why would you rob from Shohei, like the face of the game, like you just said?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll let you keep talking, David. But yeah, like, the why was this? Let's say it was Ipe. Why was Ipe allowed to be in $4.5 million of debt? And did because the person just saw that, oh, Shohei's name is on it, so Shohei will pay back because he's loaded with money. If it was Shohei, who cares if it's Shohei Ohtani? Like, why are you allowed to be in $4.5 million of debt? Why do you keep betting? I mean, you have a problem, but why do you keep doing that when you have so much debt? And yeah, it's so crazy. But yeah, keep going.
Yeah, it's like if you have a debt and you're paying for a house, you're just not going to keep buying stuff and investing if you're not going to get the money back. And then another thing is just like the story. I'm confused. Like I'm pretty sure we were all told as kids that, A, you don't want to lie in the first place, but if you do end up, at least keep the same story. But he clearly did not listen. And now he's getting even more backlash because he keeps changing the story and the same with the other side. And we're all confused, and we don't even know who's really going to get convicted or anything, or anybody does, or, like, blame, because the story is changing 18 different times every day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Ipe is, like, flip-flopping on this, and it's one thing if, okay, you're lying, but you're sticking with the story. Then when you flip it, it's like, well, there's clearly something wrong here, and you clearly did something wrong because there's two sides of it. And so you're admitting whether one thing was a lie. One of them is somewhat accurate. So something like Ipe is in trouble. There's a reason he got fired and he's no longer Shohei's interpreter. I think obviously the greater interest is, what does this mean for Shohei Ohtani? What the heck's going to happen there? Yeah, it's not something, like I said, it's not something that we were expecting to, like, come down or anything like that. But, and also another thing for Shohei, I think one of the reports coming out today was like Shohei didn't know until Ipe talked to the Dodgers. And I'm like, so Shohei, you're so loose with your finances. I get that Ipe's like the closest person to you, but you're allowing Ipe to use your name in a transfer to an illegal bookie, I believe. Like, how is that? Like, Shohei has to be at fault there as well. Like, that's on you, dude. And it's under your name. Even if you didn't do it, it's under your name. So he has to be at fault here somewhat. But again, Major League Baseball, they're going to do everything to protect this or protect him because that protects their image and extension. It brings in money, obviously, because of how many people want to go watch Shohei Ohtani. So, yeah. Do you have any more thoughts on this? This is just, it's bizarre. And this is not the end of it. Like, I don't know if reporting is going to come out every day about this thing, but at some point we're going to hear the, maybe not the entire story, but there's definitely more information that has to come out because we're hearing conflicting stories here and it's not adding up. And at some point it's going to have to add up.
Yeah. Just a few more things before I go. Like, I don't believe that Shohei didn't know because, A, in the first story, I'm pretty sure he said that Shohei Ohtani was wiring the money. I don't believe that he didn't know what he was doing. He's not dumb. Like, he knows what he's doing. And the second one, him not knowing, I'm pretty sure Shohei would know if $4.5 million was taken out of his account just randomly.
Yeah, exactly. I get that Shohei has a ton of money, but let's narrow it down to, like, a normal human, not like a billionaire or a millionaire, however much money he has. Let's say you have $4,000 in your bank account, and all of a sudden you're down to $2,000, and you didn't do anything. You don't notice that, like, so Shohei doesn't check his Chase account or his Wells Fargo, or he just don't know. He doesn't have alerts because there's alerts that happen when you make a huge payment of something. You get an email about, yep, here's like the receipt. It's like you don't notice that. So yeah, and there was the part of the story on the ESPN article was like, it was Shohei on his laptop. That was part of, I believe, what Ipe said initially. And then he was like, no, Shohei doesn't know. He didn't know anything. It was all me. Like, one thing is right, one thing is wrong. But for you to be flipping, like, stick, at least if you're going to lie, and you shouldn't, but stick to that lie instead of changing the story. I don't get why he changed the story. That didn't make sense.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. I'm like, you're trying to get out of it, and then you dig yourself a bigger hole, and now you're basically screwed because you're fired, and now you're probably going to get convicted of some crime. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on just this Padres-Dodgers Soul Series, any main takeaways, just outlook on this season?
I mean, yeah, it was a great series. I watched both games. I'm on the East Coast, so I got to sleep a little bit more than you. I was watching both games. The first game, I ended up watching until, I'm pretty sure, the seventh or eighth inning when the Padres decided to choke the lead. And I was mad. I wanted to punch a wall, but it was okay. It was the first game of the season. It's hard to keep, you know, that lineup with Shohei and Freddie and Mookie and all of them at bay. Second game, I cannot tell you how much my heart rate went up and down through that game. Because first we were winning 5-0, and then it was like 5-2. And then it was 9, and then it was like 6, and then it was just crazy. And then the final score just shows how crazy this game was. It was back and forth. Like, the pitching did not exist in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the pitching only existed, like, at the very end with Robert Torres. I thought he pitched well. He was throwing gas. I'm someone that appreciates good pitching and low scoring and just kind of trying to see, okay, who's going to come up with that big hit, that big swing. But when you have a one-off like this where there is just the game's drunk, there's so many hits, so many runs being scored, it's super, super entertaining. So, yeah, no doubt this was a memorable series. I wish I was up for the entire game, but I didn't have to see all of, you know, Musgrove not pitching that well. So I guess there's the positive of that. David, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sick of being upsold at gyms? My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Let's see here. Going through the chat. Padres Up says, I thought King looked great. I don't know what game you were watching then. MCC 951, happy to get the split. Seems fair for both teams based on the travel and level of disruption to a standard spring. Yeah, I mean, like, the Dodgers and Padres, they go across the world just to be 1-1. I think the Padres going in, you're like, yeah, 1-1, I'm good with that. But for the Dodgers, that has to be pretty disappointing. When you win game one and then you score 11 runs, you should be winning both games. And they don't. And so, as a Padres fan, very happy about that. Odai says, Machado's home run at the end was a cherry on top. That was such a bomb. You can't hit a baseball better than that. I don't think. LMAO, Max Muncy. Yeah, what a game for him, huh? Holy cow. Was his glove messed up too? David says, it's hard to hold back the star-studded line that is the Dodgers with Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, and more. Yeah, I mean, I didn't need to watch this series to know how good the Dodgers lineup was, but it only reconfirms it. Like, holy cow, that lineup is going to be hell for a lot of pitching staffs this season. And hopefully the Padres are not one of those when they match up again in some of the matchups that they have the rest of this year. You know, in Korea like this, like I'm glad that they were able to get the split. 1-1, you'll take it, and you'll move on. I mean, it's better than what happened last year, right? Remember last year, they were 0-2, and then they came back, I believe, and then they were 2-2. But yeah, being 0-2, and it was against the Rockies, I believe, right? Yeah, wasn't great. Wasn't a great start. So at least it's more of a happy start to the season. And it's definitely, if you're going to pick one game or the other to win, you're going to pick the second game because you get the happy flight. You're like, okay, we split. We just won, especially when you score 15 runs. We just scored 15 runs against the Dodgers. We got Fan Fest, celebrity softball game, exhibition games, home opener. You're like, okay, we're happy. Now, if they would have won game one and would have scored 11 runs and lost this one like the Dodgers did, that wouldn't have been, we just wouldn't be feeling that great, right? Yuki asked, did Ohtani pay off a friend's gambling debt or did someone steal 4.5? We don't, I mean, could it be both? Could it be Ohtani, he gambled? Was it did Ipe do the bets for him? Did Ipe do bets on top of that? Did Ipe, was he in debt? So he stole money from Shohei, but the $500,000, those two $500,000 there that were reported in the ESPN article, was that Shohei actually being in debt? So that's why the transfers were in his name. I don't know. I mean, Shohei's one heck of a friend if this is true, where Ipe was in $4.5 million of debt. And Shohei just said, yeah, I'll be a good friend and pay it off for you so you don't do it again. Like, if someone has a problem, obviously Ipe is admitting to it, right? Let's say he does have the problem. he's admitting to it. And he's saying, well, part of his story, one of his versions of his story was it was all him. It was all his fault. And he's never going to be betting again. But how do you get to $4.5 million of gambling debt? Like, that's a question I have. Like, holy cow. Darth Revan says, happy for the split, but both you and Joe had mediocre starts at best. You gave up no runs, but only lasted 3 2/3 innings at 73 pitches. But I think he was like on the pitch count of less than 80 pitches, around 80. Both pitching staffs in game two were rocked. That's true. Yeah. And Musgrove, like, again, I'm not at the point where I'm worried about Musgrove. I need more of a sample size here in the regular season in starts that matter for me to be worried about Joe Musgrove. But yeah, the rotation is still a question mark. We can like it on paper, but of course it's still a question mark. Just like it's a question mark with a lot of teams, even when they acquire big names in their rotation. And you think it's good, you think it's strong until something happens in the season. Yeah, I saw JD Martinez sign with the Mets. That is, what, 1 year, $12 million, I want to say? Yeah. 1 year, $12 million. It's kind of weird for the Mets, right? So they're paying JD $12 million to go trade him at the deadline? Because why would they keep him the entire year? I don't think they're going to be in contention. Maybe they'll be in contention, so they have to keep him, but why? That's a little confusing to me. I was thinking, oh, crap. Padres announced Fan Fest this week and has been canceled due to inclement weather. And the Peter Seidler Celebration of Life has been moved up. 11 a.m. So breaking news, 11 a.m. on Saturday is the Peter Seidler Celebration of Life. Canceling Fan Fest. Well, that sucks. Let me see here, because I'm just reading this live. So I'm trying to find the information here that you might need to know. Courtesy of Jim Russell, because he gets some media emails. The Padres will honor their beloved former chairman and owner, Peter Seidler, with a celebration of life ceremony at Petco on Saturday at 11 a.m. So not 1, I believe, is when it was supposed to start, 11. The home plate gate will open to fans at 10 a.m. Seating will be available on a first-come, first-served basis. Parking free of charge will be available in neighboring Padres-controlled lots, including Lexus Premier Lot, Tailgate Lot, and Padres Parkade. Fans will also be able to watch a live stream of the ceremony at Padres.com. FanFest ticket holders will have the opportunity to claim up to 4 free tickets to attend either Monday's exhibition game or Tuesday. Seating for the complimentary tickets will be in the upper deck, right field upper level, left field reserved, and Gallagher Square. And they will be available to claim at Padres.com/FanFest. Tickets for the lower seating bowl are still available for purchase for $20 for adults and $10 for kids ages 14 and under. Padres.com/tickets. I think a lot of fans were looking forward to FanFest, so that stinks. But because of the weather on Saturday, moving that up to 11 a.m., I mean, you'd rather have it be with good weather than people being rained on. If they had tickets for FanFest on Sunday, why can't that just transfer over to the Monday or Tuesday exhibition? I guess different barcodes, huh? All right, well, that's what we got right now. That's the update there on FanFest. No FanFest. And that has to suck for the Padres, people that work for the Padres, because they have been probably working their butts off on that for a long time because of everything that goes into it with the players. And there was more the Q&As with the front office people. and the players, just fan stuff to do around the ballpark. I mean, because Gallagher Square is still being worked on. That's not going to be ready for opening day because of the weather. I mean, I think that's what the reasoning is. Even though the Padres had thought, they said that they prepared for like days where they couldn't work on it because of the weather. So they like blocked off some time. And so they got on it a little bit early. So it would be ready, but I guess it's not going to be ready. Which that sucks for the Padres. I mean, but it's on them because people that had Gallagher Square tickets, that part's going to be blocked off. So that's less money that would be coming in for the Padres, I would think, right? And this is a team that already needs money. JD's third asks, where is Fam? He is a free agent still. Maybe he's living in Vegas. I don't know where he's at. That could happen before opening day. I knew that wasn't going to happen during the Seoul series. I mean, they're not focused on Tommy Pham. I think the Padres knew that, like, Tommy, he's going to still be out there when they get back home. Andres says Martinez to the Mets. No. Well, what I'll say about that is the Padres were never going to sign JD Martinez. They weren't going to give any position player $12 million. They're not going to do that to Tommy Pham if Tommy Pham is, if that's what he wants. Not happening. I mean, I know that Waka is a pitcher, but like they weren't giving Lugo Waka $16 million a year. Like they're not, they don't want to do that. They give Profar $1 million and he's the starting left fielder. Merrill's making nothing as a rookie. Tatis was already here. It was already baked in. But like the big contracts, they're gone that they could trade. Obviously Soto was the big one that they're gone. Even like Barlow, they traded him for De Los Santos and they saved money on that deal because Barlow's making less than $10 million. Like they were not going to go sign JD Martinez for him to DH when Manny's DHing already and it takes up a spot and you still want these big bats in your order, but maybe you don't want them playing the field every day for a month straight. So yeah, JD wasn't going to happen. JD's a good hitter. I'd love to see him with the Padres. I mean, studies hitting, oppo hitter, like great, but it wasn't going to happen. I'm just a little surprised by the Mets signing JD Martinez. Yeah, that Bogarts thing that happened today, he got called out for the violation, the pitch clock violation, or the batter violation, I should say. The umpire thought he called timeout earlier in the at-bat, but he didn't. Or excuse me, he did earlier in the at-bat. He didn't when he was called out. It was miscommunication, I think. Or maybe I'm getting the details flipped. Hang on, because I posted the video of it. Let me go back and look at this real quick. So it was a 1-0 count. Xander called strike. Looks like he said something to the umpire. I thought it was him calling. He raised his hand to the umpire, not all the way up, but he raised his hand a little bit from where it was, where it's just, you know, resting. He raised it a little bit. Maybe the umpire there, he must have thought, okay, he's calling timeout. But Xander, if you watch the video, it's all of 12 seconds. He didn't use the timeout. I mean, the clock's going here. There's 13 seconds left on the clock, and he gets right in the box. So he had plenty of time. And so he probably thought, I didn't use a timeout. I didn't ask for a timeout. And he was pissed off after at the umpire. Like, why would I call timeout? Why would I call timeout after, you know, the first pitch? Now, when he was called for the violation, Bogarts, he was standing in the box. And this is in the eighth inning. It's not like his hand went up while he was in the box and his hands were on the bat and called time. He didn't do that. It didn't look like he even said anything. I mean, you can't really tell, but it didn't look like he said anything, or he didn't look at the umpire, didn't do anything. So was there a miscommunication on both of those? Xander didn't mean to call timeout the first time. He got right back in the box, had plenty of time. And then this one, he's standing in the box. He is ready to go. The pitch clock is at 3 when the umpire calls timeout and then gives a violation to Xander. I didn't understand that. That didn't make sense to me. I don't think Xander should have been called for a violation there. There's clearly a misunderstanding. That was not Xander not knowing the rules. Xander knows the rules. This guy is a baseball nut. If there's a baseball nut out of anyone on that Padres team, like, Xander is that guy. I mean, he talked about that, like, his opening press conference before last season. So he knows the rules. He's a smart baseball guy. So I'm on Bogey's side about this. Schilt got his moment to come out and get a little pissed off. No one got thrown out or anything. But, yeah, that was an interesting moment there that didn't make sense. And it's one of those where you wish the umpire, you know, on a mic would explain what happened to everyone, because you have Don and Mudd guessing up there watching this game from their booth. Like, what happened? And so it's frustrating. Pedro says, every hour this Ohtani news is fluid and changing crazy. You get punished for ringworm cream, but not affiliated with gambling. Yeah. Also, if we remember, Tatis, when he got suspended, he didn't talk to the media until, what, the Friday after, when the team was back home at Petco, and after he met with Seidler. And so Ohtani may have to be meeting with people, and it might take some time before he talks to the media to, like, script out what he's going to say. It's probably not going to be anything like, it's going to be newsworthy, because if anything Ohtani says is newsworthy. But I don't think it's going to be something crazy. I don't think he's going to be like, yep, it's all Ipe's fault. I don't think he's going to, like, say that publicly. He's going to have his team say it, because he's trying to protect himself, and his team's obviously, that's their job, to protect Shohei. I wonder when he's going to talk. He's going to go the entire season without talking? Let's say this thing doesn't get resolved, and he hits 2 home runs in a game, hits 2 home runs because he can't pitch right now. It's 2 home runs in a game. One's a walk-off. He's not going to talk to the media. The Dodgers PR people are going to be standing around him in the clubhouse and then escort him out. Like, that's where I go to the accountability part. If there's nothing wrong, then talk. So there's obviously something here. So I wonder when he's going to talk. Or if he does talk, Dodgers PR will say, no non-baseball related questions. And then Ohtani, if he's asked something, he will say no comment, or he'll tell a new translator next question, or he'll say it himself in English next question, or he'll say, I can't comment on this. So you're not going to get probably anything from Shohei if he does talk. Ricardo asks, is there a reason we're worried about Ohtani? It's just because this is the biggest story in sports right now, right? It's just so, he's the face of baseball. He's one of the faces of sports. I mean, if you're not a baseball fan, you still probably know Shohei Ohtani's name. You know the name because you've heard it somewhere. So it's just so big. If it was Dodgers Giants, would I be talking about it this much? Probably not, but it was in the middle of a Padres Dodgers series. It's just so wild that I find myself like, it's hard not to talk about. Let's see here. Ricardo says, how about some Padre chit-chat? I think we've been talking Padres for almost an hour now. I mean, there was Ohtani talk in there, but most of this has been Padres. I started the show with Padres. I did a post-game reaction about Padres earlier today. It's not like this is an Ohtani channel, but it's a topic that we, like, can't get rid of because of how huge it is and how the news is changing all the time on it, is what it seems like. There's so many versions of the story. Let's see here. Yeah, if you don't like me talking about Ohtani, okay. But I'm just saying, a majority of this show is definitely talking about the Padres. And that's what it will be. If this was Ohtani playing another team, I probably wouldn't talk about it as much, but it was in the middle of a Padre-Dodger series. There was a San Diego connection as well in this story. I think Ipe and the dude that he was dealing with met at a San Diego casino in like 2021. All right, no more Ohtani talk. Let's see here. The Baxman says, I like Profar over Pham in the outfield. Why? I mean, I'm not saying Pham's like the best defensive outfielder ever, but when you're talking about the entire package, it's not like Profar won't be on this team and they have to pick. Now, Pham would be starting, obviously. But like Profar, they signed him to be a utility guy. Azokar came in for defense late in this game for Jurickson. Like, there's a reason for that. It's not like Profar, yes, he's made some good throws. It was fun to watch in 2022. But I think he's best for this team when he is a utility guy and can fill in and can play, not start every day. If you want to improve the offense, getting Tommy Pham improves the offense. Yeah, FanFest was canceled because of weather, incoming weather. Let's see here. Continuing to go through the chat here. SD fan says, extend Merrill or too soon? Yeah, a little too soon. You know, maybe, I know Cronenworth was different. He's older, but let's learn our lesson there. Merrill sure seems like he's a huge part of our future, but it doesn't seem like the Padres are even in a position to commit that money to Merrill. He's in his first year. Maybe you do it in the offseason before you go to arbitration, but don't extend Jackson Merrill when he hasn't even played a game at Petco Park yet in a big league uniform. Don't do it when you don't have to do it. I think it's smart to do it, maybe to avoid the arbitration years, avoid that, right? And you can buy out free agent years and you don't have to pay till he's 40, but don't do it when he's in his arbitration years here. There's no need to do that. Maybe this is going to be a certain thing brought up, probably. They canceled FanFest so that they could save money because there's going to be a lot of money but involved because it costs a lot of money to run something like that. Okay, but what, you think they haven't spent money on the FanFest, like getting the things for FanFest? They haven't spent money on that? I mean, how much does running a FanFest cost? And is that budget in the baseball operations budget or is that budget in the business operations budget? Like Gruppner, he said on the radio the other day, I forget where or else I would credit it, but I think it was Darren Smith. The budget of like Gallagher Square, that money, it's not like they took the baseball operations money that Preller has and put it in Gallagher Square and said, you can't, we're prioritizing Gallagher Square over the roster. It's different budgets. So that's that right there is where I'm like, yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. When you're so close to FanFest, you've already planned everything out. They probably had already set up for what they're doing. And I'm sure that there's money spent on the event, you know, so no. Now, let's say that it rains on Sunday. That would ruin FanFest. Now, it would ruin, like, because the team's supposed to hit on the field and there's the celebrity softball game. So, yeah, it would ruin that. But don't the players, I mean, at FanFest last year, the players, they just sat in the concourse at Petco and signed autographs, took pictures. Like, they could still do that if fans wanted to stand in the rain for that, right? But do the players want to do that? No. I wouldn't think in the rain. They just got back from Korea. They'd rather just, you know, chill out, rest before the two exhibition games Monday, Tuesday, and then they get one off day before they start, you know, the grind of a season. Yeah, and Gallagher Square not finished. I see Greg say that. Yeah, it's for anyone that has seen, I think I posted, yeah, I did. Brett, who's been on the show, Padre fan, he has a view of Gallagher Square, and it looks better than it did a couple weeks ago, but there's still plenty of room to improve there and get that thing built up. So it was never going to be ready. It's not like they canceled FanFest because Gallagher Square is not ready. Although you'd have to manage flow more because Gallagher Square, I mean, that's where they did the Q&As and a lot of people hang out, obviously. So you're going to have to manage that. But it was going to be delayed. It's not going to be ready on the 28th. We'll see when it is ready. I mean, some of the stuff that's being built up, it does look cool from what I've seen. But I want to see it in use. And when it's fully built, what does that look like? How much room? Is there more room with this? Is it less room? Obviously, part of it is turf. So I'm not going to look down there from my seat, you know, in 309 and in September and see that it's brown. So with that, that's a positive there. And it seems like the area behind the park, right? They changed the location of that little play ball field. So it looks like there's some cool adjustments with this. But yeah, it's disappointing because I think fans were looking forward to it. FanFest was supposed to be like, here's your first look at the new Gallagher Square. That was supposed to be part of it. And obviously, there's no FanFest at all anymore. The Seidler thing, even if it was raining, I think you still have to have it, right? You're not pushing that back. You're doing it. You're not going to do it during the year. You're not going to do it the day before opening day. You're going to do it on the weekend so as many people can go as possible. You're just going to do it. If it rains, it rains. You honor Peter Seidler. He deserves that. All right, Talking Friars episode 576, over an hour of talk. Hopefully everyone enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for the time. I don't take it for granted. I really do appreciate it. You can hit me up at Talking Friars, Twitter, Instagram, on social media. If you have any questions, obviously I try to get to the comments in YouTube as well. So thank you so much again. I appreciate all of you and see you later.